This, I think, is classroom one, correct? Am I in classroom one, I think? I think so. Yeah. Do you guys have a sign-up sheet going around? Okay.
We usually do it about halfway through so the people come and like get included, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's good. However you do it. I like to follow the rules. So I think it's 7. No, I have 3 minutes. Do I stay on time? Like, I have to start right at 7, right? Okay. All right. Everyone have a good week so far? Yeah? I had a good day today. Yeah. It's always good when I have a good day.
How was your
Easter? My Easter was good, quiet, had a nice time with my family. Yeah, it was good. Yep. My grandbaby. All right, we're going to open up in prayer tonight. Welcome to Rock Solid Faith. As you can see, I'm not pastor. He is out of town today, but asked me to fill in. My name is Sherry Spencer Taylor. I'm his sister. And hopefully tonight we're going to learn some great things about the Word. We're going to talk about hermeneutics tonight. How many have ever studied hermeneutics? No? I scared him away with that word, hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is a class that we teach in Bible school, RBI, and it's how to interpret the Bible and how to interpret it correctly. And so we're going to start talking about tonight, putting our foundation together on how to study the Word and what the Word how it's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to ask God to just open our hearts and our minds tonight and just help us to absorb His Word tonight. Amen. Father, we just worship you. We thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for your mercy and your grace today, God. I pray that as we study your word, Holy Spirit, you would just open the eyes of our understanding and cause our hearts to be enlightened, Father, with your word. I pray, Jesus, that you would just show us your plan and your purpose. Help us to see exactly and interpret your word exactly how you meant us to hear it and understand it, Father. And we just thank you and we give you all the glory and honor tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're on page 33, chapter 6, and we're getting into the foundations of the Word now. You guys, I think last week you were studying the finishing up the trichotomy, right? What is the trichotomy? Rock Solid Faith students, what is trichotomy?
Spirit, soul, and body.
Yep, good. I'm sorry? And it's all one, that's right. That's right. We are one. We are made in the image of our Father, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're made in His image. We're a trichotomous being. So tonight we're going to talk about hermeneutics, like I said. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, "Be diligent to represent yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Have you ever known anybody who... they were in the same room as you, and they heard the same conversation as you did, but they came away with a completely different version of the conversation, right? So they understood what was said a different way than you did. And a lot of religions today take bits and pieces of the word, and they take and they, I like this, but I don't like that, and I'm only going to use this part, and I'm only going to add this part to my life, but I'm going to disregard this. That is wrongly dividing the word of God, right? When God wrote the word, he wrote it, a man writing it, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The men who wrote the word of God were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was writing the word. Amen? And he has the heart of the Father. He knows exactly what God wanted to say to us in the word. So we have to understand how to interpret it so that we get the correct meaning. The term hermeneutics, like I said, simply means how to interpret the Bible correctly. And there are two types of interpretations of Scripture. Now, I'm not going to go deep into this because, frankly, the words are hard to say, number one. And number two, we just didn't want to be basic about this and get the basic meaning of it. Historico, grammatico, exegesis. That's when you take history and your grammar and you find out what the original writer was saying about it. And in other words, the literal interpretation of the word. That's a little bit easier to understand, isn't it? It's what the original writer wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's what we want to know. Spiritualization is what the writer wrote, and then, like I said, what that reader took out of it and only wants to put into place in their life. That is spiritualization. A lot of these religions, they just take bits and pieces, and that's how they make up, you know, their religion. Even in the Pentecostal denomination today, the church, a lot of the Pentecostal churches take part of the Word of God, but don't add all of the Word of God. For an example, a lot of Pentecostal churches do not preach that God wants, is his will to heal you all the time. It is his will to heal you all the time, every time, right? But because they didn't see a healing happen, they took that part out. And they said, well, if it's God's will. Well, it's always God's will to heal your body. Amen? So you can see how it's easy to just take little parts and make them fit your life. And that's how a lot of Christians stay in sin, because they don't want to apply, that part to their life, because that's not comfortable. Right? We have to make sure that we're interpreting the Word of God wholly and correctly. We are literal interpreters of the Word. We believe that God spoke to and through men who wrote the Word of God, and that the Father, they wrote exactly what the Father wanted us to know. When you tell your kids something, you're telling them because you want them to know, right? Well, when God inspired inspired the Word of God to be written, and it was exactly what he wants us to know, because we need to do it his way. Amen? I know I wanted my kids to do it my way when I was telling them what to do. We're talking about literally, not figuratively. Let's look at a couple scriptures here. 2 Peter 2, 20, 20, and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but only holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as in the truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And then 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that every man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, if you're taking a class at the local college, you expect that at the end of that class, you're going to have a full understanding about what you're studying, correct? Same thing with the Word of God. When you go to do your devotions in the morning, you should not be struggling to understand what the Word is telling you to do. You should be able to take it in to your spirit, read it, take it in, and be able to then walk it out the moment you step out the door or the moment you get up from your chair, right? So that's important that we have clear understanding of what the Word of God is saying to us. Don't raise your hand, but most of you read your Bible every day, right? Devotions are so critical to your Christian walk. If you do spend several days not reading your Bible, does your spouse or your children kind of see a change in your attitude a little bit? Have they ever called you out on it? I've been called out on it before. My family used to know if I wasn't in the Word for a couple of days because I would be a little bit on the crabby side, believe it or not. I know you can't believe that. But you know what? It's true, because the Word of God helps us to stay in check, right? When we're stepping outside of the Word of God and we're in sin, the Holy Spirit is very faithful to prompt you, huh? I don't think you should have said that, or maybe you should reconsider doing that, or maybe you shouldn't go there, or maybe you know, he's very faithful about that check in your spirit that you feel, right? But once you're out of the Word of God for several days, the check is a little more silent than if you're in, right? Your spirit is attuned to the Word. If you spend your time in your Word, your spirit becomes attuned to it. You feed your spirit. How many like to eat? I love to eat. You know what? If you go many days without eating, what happens? You starve to death, right? And same thing with the word. If you're not in the word, your spirit is starving. You are starving your spirit. And so it's important to be in there every day. Now, I'm not talking about 4 or 5 hours a day. Even, you know, half an hour or 30 minutes or 20 minutes a day will help to nourish your spirit, and then spend time in prayer. Amen? But do what the word, do what God tells you to do as far as your devotions go. The word of God, it's living and it builds up your spirit, man. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We can tell ourselves anything, can't we? We can talk ourselves into anything. But when the word of God is in the forefront of your life, it's a little harder to talk yourself into doing something that's not correct with the word, right? Why? Because it helps discern the thoughts that are going through your head. It helps discern the attitudes of your heart when you're in the word. Jesus is the word that became flesh, John 1:1. In the beginning as the word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with, was God, and the word, wait a minute, I think that's wrong. In the book, I mean, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Yes, I have my words wrong. So Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word. He has fulfilled all of the word. There is nothing left to be fulfilled. He has fulfilled it. And so he is the flesh that became the word of God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory in the glory of only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As we study the word, we're spiritually eating Jesus and learning about him. It's almost as if Jesus is right here, right? They had the early church before he was crucified had the benefits of attending his conferences out in the fields and in the cities, right? They heard it from his mouth. We hear it every day from his heart, but in the word, not necessarily, you know, speaking to us, you know, in a voice, but always in our hearts and in the word. Amen. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you hear the word, the more you talk about the word, the more you are in the word, the more you're in the anointing, what happens? Your faith grows. That's what we want. We want our faith to grow strong. If I'm working out and I'm only lifting a 5-pound weight on this hand and nothing on this hand, this muscle is going to be bigger than this one, right? Because I'm exercising it. Same thing with the word. If we're in it, we're exercising our faith. We are building our faith up. You need strong faith today, right? The devil has a lot of actions and ploys to send out your way. And if your faith is not strong, you won't be able to fight off the attack of the enemy. Amen? You won't know how to pray. You won't know what to do. That's why the word is so critical to us. When we're first beginning to read the word, we need to approach it in a different way than reading just any other book. How many like to read novels? I do. I like to read. I like to get wrapped up in a novel. But you know what? It's a place where your mind can go and wander, you know, when you're in a novel. You're enjoying the story. A lot of times people find it really hard to get in the word. Maybe you need to find an interpretation that you can, you know, follow a little easier. I always have used the New King James Version, the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, and it's a great study Bible. But a lot of times I like to use the Message Bible because it's today's language and it's easier to understand sometimes when I'm struggling with, you know, understanding what the word is saying. Getting the right translation for you is really important. We don't all wear size 7 shoe, right? You need the shoe that fits your foot. You need the interpretation or the translation of the word that fits your lifestyle, that fits your understanding. Does that make any sense, what I just said? But it's important because if you don't understand the word, you're not going to get it. And it's important when you do your devotions to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to your heart, bring revelation to your mind about what you're reading that day. I recently picked up a great devotional by Beth Moore. Have you ever heard of Beth Moore? She's a really great Bible teacher. And she wrote this devotional which surrounds King David. It talks about King David and Solomon. And it's really enlightening and full of wisdom. And I've been enjoying the story because you get a lot into the Old Testament, which a lot of times I tend to read more the New Testament. But this is making me go back into the Old Testament to really study out why David did some of the things he did, why he thought some of the ways he thought. And so I've been enjoying that. But pick up, I encourage you to pick up new devotionals. We have them here out in the lobby. You know, Pastor has written a couple. Pastor Rhonda's written a couple. And there's other good ones out there in the Christian bookstores for you to get too. Who has one that they're reading right now?
I have one called Jesus Calling.
Oh.
I don't remember the authors, but it's very good.
Yes, I saw that one at Hobby Lobby, I think. I saw that one. I was thinking about getting that one. Isn't that the one you were talking about the other day? Who else is using a devotional? Mm-hmm. Yep, I've gone through that one a couple of times. That one that Pastor just wrote a couple years ago. So it's important. It helps you grow. It helps you too. The teachers who are writing those, the writers of those devotionals, they're giving you insight into the word that maybe you never thought of before, you know? And I'm like this devotional that I'm using with Beth Moore. She's a really deep teacher, and I'm enjoying getting into her thought patterns about how King David was, you know, how he had to flee for his life and, you know, in applying it today to our lives today. Amen? When you're reading the word, read with the mindset of what is God trying to teach me today? You know, a lot of times we think, oh, well, what am I going to do with that? We should be able to apply the word every day of our lives in everything that we do. You don't just tuck it in your back pocket. You know, find a way to apply the word to your everyday life. I love Pastor's blog this week. Be a generous interruption to somebody, you know? That's important because who's busy? I'm busy, you know? And it's hard sometimes to think about generously interrupting someone else's life because you're busy. But if you purposely do it, you know, it makes them, that person who's receiving, happy, and really it makes you happy as the giver of that generous interruption. Amen? When reading the word, you will start having the Holy Spirit reveal who your Father is and how he desires you to live for him. Pastor had talked about in his book here some of the different translations. The Amplified Bible is a really great translation too for helping to bring out clarity in the scripture. It tends to be a little on the wordy side, but if you can get by all the big words and just kind of pull out the meaning, that's a good translation. I recently picked up the New Living Translation, which reads differently than the New King James Version, and I like it. You know, I think it's important to expand your horizons a little bit, right? If you're always used to eating carrots, you might want to try green beans. Hello? You know? So where do you begin with all this stuff? I know. Sometimes it looks a little daunting, but it's not. You have to find some place that is going in the Word that is going to capture your interest. A lot of people start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels. Why? Because they're more story-like. They're more story-like where people can understand them a little bit easier. Definitely, I would not recommend that you start in the Old Testament. sometimes that can be a little on the drier side, although the lessons are very good, but it doesn't make for, you know, really great bedtime reading. But the Gospels are a good place to start. Why? Because we're seeing Jesus start out on his ministry. We're seeing him start out on the road. And you get the sense of where he's going and how he's accomplishing what God has called him to do. And it's a great place to just start your devotional. And then Pastor says, go into the book of James. It's a practical book. Practicality. Who likes to be practical? you know. But really, it's foundational. I enjoy the book of Timothy. We're doing a study on Thursday nights in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, and it's been really good. It helps you understand the practical lessons of being a Christian, how to love one another, you know, just practical stuff. See, the word is not hard to understand. It is all practical, but it's just us seeing how we can apply it in our everyday life that is the challenge, right? Then it says, go back to the beginning of the New Testament and start reading Matthew. So pastor's saying, start with John, go to James, then go to Matthew. You need to decide what you want to do and just start somewhere. That's all I would say. Just start somewhere. Amen. Studying the Bible is much different than reading. There are so many ways to study the word and so many tools that help us on its way. There's concordances. If you really want to do a study on a subject, you should get a concordance and, you know, go through all the scriptures that are in there. Trust me, if you pick something, a subject to study, and then really dive into it, you're going to know it. And no one's going to be able to talk you out of it. Amen? Healing, for example. If you've ever experienced healing in your body, no one can talk you out of the fact that you were healed by Jesus. Right? Foundational teachings are really important for you to get into your spirit so that you know the word and then you can help share the word with somebody else, right? It used to be that if you didn't go to the library worth thousands if you didn't have a library worth thousands or knew Greek or Hebrew that you wouldn't be able to understand it. But the internet, you can find anything on the internet. You can Google just about anything or anybody and find out all the things that you don't want to know and things you do want to know. Amen? There's tons of tools out there. eSword.net is one of them. It's e-sword.net, and it's a Bible program, and it's free, which is always good. There's BibleGateway.com. You can go out there and do studies. They have topical studies. They actually have devotionals that you can do every day. Like I said, this New Spirit-Filled Life Bible is really great. One of the teachers that did the editing, there's several that have done editing of the little excerpts that they put in here. And these pastors, they're pastors, solid pastors, and they give you a lot of insight into different topics here in going through the Word as a study Bible. And I've enjoyed it over the years. How do you study? So first, it's called a topical study is one of the first things where you just pick a subject. Pick a subject. You know, tithing. Healing. What's another one that someone's done? Faith. Right? You just pick a study, then you go through and you choose the scriptures that all surround that. There's another one called the Vines Expository, and this book deals with topics that can be acquired through the eSword for a small cost, and then there's like the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance that I talked about at the beginning. Some of those, the Strong's Concordance is quite large. It can be a little intimidating. But as you learn how to get into that study book and really pull the subjects out, the Greek and the Hebrew is important to understand, because what peace might mean in one scripture is not necessarily exactly the same in another scripture. Depends on what the Greek and the Hebrew interpretation is of that word. That's why it's really important to do those kinds of studies and understand what the message the writer was really trying to get across to us, right? Not only to us, but to the early church. Think about this for a minute. And we were talking about this last Thursday night in our study on Thursday, but Paul wrote 13 epistles. There's 13 letters to the church. He wrote those a lot of times in prison, right? Under duress. But guess what? Even today, over 2,000 years later, we are still going back to those letters as places to get information to grow in our Christian walk. That's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that something that was written over 2,000 years ago can really be for today? It is true. The Word of God is living. It teaches us how to live. It is our roadmap. You know, babies don't come with a manual, do they? No? And so I remember when I had my first kid, I thought, well, I have to run out and get that book that says what to expect when you're expecting, because that's supposed to tell you everything that you're supposed to know. It doesn't tell you everything. It doesn't really tell you anything, right? But, you know, it doesn't come with a manual. The kid doesn't come with a manual. But our Christian walk comes with a roadmap. Amen? Everything that we need to be successful, everything that we need to be at peace, everything that we need to have for godly living is right here. And it's not hidden from us. Amen? It's alive, and it's ready and accessible right this moment. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to send three payments of $19.95 in to get the instruction. All you have to do is pick it up and read it. Amen? And the Holy Spirit will be faithful to teach you how to interpret it so that it is the true meaning of what God is saying. There's tons of reference books out there, too, on topics. One of my favorite teachers is Kenneth Hagin, and my stepdad, Al, loves Kenneth Hagin. And he's probably read every single thing Kenneth Hagin has ever written, and probably more than once. But you'll, as a Christian and as you grow in your walk, you're going to find authors that really speak to you and authors that really help you understand the Word and give you revelation. And you should, you know, I encourage you, you should be looking for those books. And if you've not ever read any of Kenneth Hagin's books, they're awesome. They help you grow spiritually. There's so many. Creflo Dollar. Has anybody read Creflo's stuff? I love his stuff too. Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland. You know, there's so many good teachers of the Word today on TV and in writing that there's no reason for us not to be able to live a victorious life in Jesus. Amen? I mean, you know, it's the people who struggle, the people who are struggling are the ones that maybe are not in the Word as much as they should be. And we all struggle. I'm not saying that we don't all struggle. We all do. But we struggle less when we have Jesus helping us walk through that thing. Amen? One of the other tools that I like to use is our classes like this. Now, this class doesn't tend to be interactive, I know, because pastor's mostly doing teaching. But there are other Bible studies that are going on during the week that you can actually be interactive with in your class. And I enjoy that because I don't know everything, okay? I don't know everything. And you don't know everything. But together, when a lot of times we're talking about a topic, we can enlighten each other just by conversation, right? Your experience. You've all have experiences maybe that I've never had. And so we learn from those. We learn from how you got through those, right? It's important, too, that you are willing to share your understanding and your knowledge with other people. Now, not everybody is meant to teach in front of a group, but you have people that you influence every single day of the week, right? At your job, in your home, in your, you know, your extended families. And that's why God wants you to be knowledgeable about the Word so that you can be ready in season and out of season when you need to encourage somebody. I had a call today from someone, and she was just very distraught, very upset. And as I ministered to her the Word first and then prayed with her, by the time she got off the phone, she was calmed down. Why? Because she heard the Word. It wasn't what I was saying. It was the Word that was coming out of me that was helpful to her to be able to bring peace to her spirit. Amen? And that's why it's not just all about you. It's not all about me. It's about the people that we come in contact with, and it's about the people that we touch every day. Right? So we have to know the Word. We will not be successful if we do not know the Word. Does anyone else have a book or a reference book that they've studied out that they really enjoyed?
Instinct by T.D. Jakes.
Oh, yeah, he's a good teacher, too. Instinct by T.D. Jakes. I've not read that one, but I should put that on my list to check that one out. What's it about?
Basically opening up what you want to get out from the Bible and how to let the Bible guide you in everyday
life.
Situations, like your instincts.
Yeah, yeah. So it's how to open your heart up to get out of the word, how to live your everyday life. And that's really a great topic. Anybody else have had a book, a reference book that they've used that have really helped them?
Battlefield of the Mind.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. We did a 29-week study on that twice. I did that. We studied that book in one of our Bible studies. I don't know. It must be like 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, and probably a year and a half ago we went through it again. And I didn't realize it, but when we studied that book the first time around 5 years ago, I needed it because I was going through situations in my life where I needed to be able to take authority over that battle that was going on in my mind. But studying it 5 years later, it was a completely different thing. I wasn't dealing with the old junk. I was dealing with new stuff, right? So there's always going to be something new on the horizon, good and bad, which we need to deal with. So that's a great one. And Joyce Meyer has a ton of those good reference books. Anybody else?
Well, I know I'm reading No More Hurt.
Oh, No More Hurt. That's right. Pastor Rhonda's book. Okay, all right. So, you know, Rock Solid Faith is really your foundation, right? This is the first step, your foundation. And it's important that we get our foundation strong so that we can go on to the next steps, right? So I know that in coming soon, they're going to be trying to talk to all of us about making sure that you go through Rock Solid Faith first and that we graduate through Rock Solid Faith so that we can go to the next step. And we want our foundation to be strong and sure. Amen. I have gone through this class myself 2 or 3 times. I've taught it 2 or 3 times in different areas, churches. I used to live in Maine, and we had His Tabernacle in Maine for a couple years, and I taught it there. So, I mean, it's a good, strong foundation for your Christian walk, and it's essential, right? You don't send your kid out without lunch, right? You either buy lunch or you give him lunch, but it's essential to his health, right, to have lunch. This is essential to our Christian health, is to have this foundation that's strong and built up. Anybody else have a reference book that they've read that's been good? No? Wow.
It's almost as thick as the Bible itself. And it'll give you numbers to go to for different other scriptures that you can tie in with the scripture that you're reading.
Yep.
And that is very helpful.
Yep. So she said that she has a huge concordance for those who...
Chain.
I'm sorry?
Thompson
Chain Bible. Yes, that is that's a really good reference Bible as well. And it takes you into other scriptures than just the one that you might happen to be studying out. It gives you references to go and to grab more revelation from other scriptures. So it's important. Rock Solid Faith truly is very special. And I know that pastors rewriting the books to kind of, coordinate with this whole Next Step program. But This is his first book. The Red Book is his second book, and there's a ton of revelation that came out of the second book after he'd written the first book. So you're never going to learn all of the Word one time. You're always going to get new revelation from the Word. That's what I love about it, is that it's living, right? Truly living. So as a Christian, it just depends on where you are in your walk, that you might grasp something now that you... grasps something totally different from that scripture later on, 2 years down the road, as your walk grows. How many have been coming to His Tabernacle for quite some time? What's 5 years? 6 years, or 10 years? More than 10 years? All right. So a lot of people are here 5 years and under, right? Critical. And it's different than any church you've been in before. Amen? Mm. It's different than any church I've been at either. And I've been in church all since I was 2 days old. So, you know, and the thing is that it's a growing church. We want to make sure that when you step out of this building tonight, that you're equipped to go minister to somebody, or that you're equipped to handle the problems that are going to arise in your life. See, nobody equips us like God, right? Nobody. Nobody equips us like God. He prepares us for things that we don't even know are going to happen. For instance, so I've taught for a few years here. So if you've heard the story before, I apologize, but you're going to have to listen to it again. So I moved out here in 2009 after my late husband passed away from cancer. Now, I had no idea, first of all, that I was going to have to deal with cancer in my family. But I was stuck in Maine. Maine is not necessarily the place where there's a lot of spiritual revelation going on. But, you know, a lot of the churches are really basic foundation. You know, you hardly get the foundation. They're just really basic. And so while I was there, I lived there for 15 years. I remember always saying to God, why did you bring me to this desolate, desolated place and there's nobody here to, you know. Guess what? I learned more there with no one teaching me but God in the Word of God. Every single day, I learned more there in my Christian walk than I ever learned anywhere else. And my faith grew strong there, but it had to. Because I didn't know I was going to be dealing with cancer. I didn't know that my husband was going to die. I didn't know I was going to be left with raising three kids by myself, right? The thing is that we don't know what's to come. But if we have the Word as our foundation, nothing is going to shake us. Amen? Amen. Now, we might get a little, you know, worried, hesitant, right? But it doesn't shake you. It doesn't shake you because the Word is truth. Amen? The Word is truth. What God says He's going to do, He will do. And if your faith is in Him, then you don't have anything to worry about. Right? Another benefit of studying the Word is that it brings health to your bones. Amen? So, you know, it's not just a storybook. It actually brings health to your bones. That's what Psalms 103 talks about. Forget not all of His benefits, right? There's so many benefits to the Word and how it can just get into your bloodstream and just make you healthy. It can make you beautiful. Really? And it can keep wrinkles off your face, believe it or not, right? Why? Because when you're in the Word and your youth is restored, your youth is restored. So critical to our everyday life. I always feel bad when I do Bible study because I talk fast. Did you notice that? I'm from Massachusetts, you know. And so I get through these lessons a little faster than Pastor. He can do it. We're going to move on to the next chapter. I'm making an executive decision. We're moving on. Sorry, Pastor. All right, we're going to start into chapter 7 tonight. Now that we've studied the Bible, we're going to go into the covenants. And this is very exciting stuff right here, all right? We're going to talk about the covenant with man. Let's look at Psalms 138:2. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. The covenants that God makes with His people, He takes very seriously. We oftentimes go into covenants nonchalantly, sadly to say. I'm a real estate agent, and when you sign a real estate contract, it is a binding contract. There are only a couple of ways out of that contract. And if you miss those windows of opportunity, guess what? You're buying a house that you maybe don't want. But the thing is that It's a contract. It's put in place with rules and structure so that it protects us. Same thing with God's covenants with us. You know, they're put in place so that there's structure for protection for us. Amen? A contract is something that is binding. It is it's a man's word, you know, in writing. Now, you used to be able to do buy a piece of property on a handshake. That doesn't happen anymore, right? Because typically the guy who's shaking your hand can say, oh, I never did that. I never said that. Oh, no, we want everything in writing. When the phone company Verizon, when they give you cell service, they want it in writing that you agree to pay your bill every single month. Why? Because they want to make sure they get their money. And if they don't get the money, they have things in place that they can come after you for their money, right? They're not going to just take it on your word. The cable company doesn't even do that anymore. You know, you actually have to prepay in order to get your cable service anymore. That was really quite shocking to me. In any case, marriage is a contract. Amen? We oftentimes don't look at it that way, but it truly is. The fact that a covenant, God still holds true to his word. His word is a covenant to us. What he says he would do right here is what he agrees to do. Whether you believe it or not. But it is his word. And he holds his word above his name. That's what the word of God tells us. So he's very serious about his covenant, his contract with us. God holds his word above his name, and that means he makes a contract or a covenant with someone. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. Romans 3:3-4 says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. God is not going to lie to you. He's not going to lie to you. If he says he will heal your body, he will heal your body. If he says that he is going to help you bring finances to your bank account so you can, pay your light bill, he's going to give you the finances, right? If you ask him for it, he's going to do what he said. A covenant always costs something. Remember as kids we used to do, my mother's here, so I can't really say a lot of things, but because I'd be tattling on my brother if I did. But we used to do, you know, the Indian blood brothers, right? You know, you have to cut your finger and swap blood, which is really not a good idea, especially in today's world, to swap blood. And this meant that you took a covenant that you were going to be his brother and you're going to watch out for him and he's going to watch out for you, right? And that was a serious thing as a kid. It was. And the thing is, it cost something. What did it cost? It cost that you were going to take the pain of cutting your finger open to do that. A covenant costs something. Even today, when you get married, it costs you money to get a license, right? And then sometimes it costs you a lot of money because maybe you didn't pick the right person, right? There's cost to those things. But the thing is it always is going to cost you something. When it comes to God, a covenant is always sealed with blood. Let's look at Genesis 15:9-11. So he said to them, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him, and cut them in two down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. So when you hear cutting a covenant, that's what they're talking about. That's where it comes from. That they used to actually slice up the animals in certain, you know, pieces and bring that as their offering, as their covenant. In certain cultures, when you marry, like in India, the wife's family has to bring a dowry. And what is a dowry? It's a you know, could be gold, it could be silver, it could be whatever they use these days for a dowry. But it costs the family something to give their daughter to this man in marriage. You know? that didn't happen for me. I don't think Dad gave anything to get rid of me. That's what I'm thinking. Oh my goodness. Anyways, cutting a covenant means that there was blood that was actually spilled. Now, Jesus, in his, death, burial, and resurrection, cut a covenant with us, right? He bled and died for us, and he rose again. That is his covenant with us. He is the Lamb of God that was slain, amen, for our behalf. I love that. I love Easter. Don't you love Easter? I'm sorry? Except for the Easter eggs? Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those either. A covenant is costly. Because it's costly, when it's broken, there are harsh consequences. You know, like today, some days when you don't pay your phone bill, you know, no one's going to come knocking on your door. But in those days, they'll ring your phone, but they're not going to come knocking on your door. But in those days, somebody came to the door. When you broke your covenant with them, there was a consequence to that. And it could be death. It could be who knows what. But it was going to cost you something because you broke your promise. Promises don't mean what they used to mean. Amen? They don't. Obedience is important to a covenant. You need to be obedient to what's laid out. Deuteronomy 28:1-2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of your God. The same what we say on Sunday morning, right? Over our tithe and our offering. Every single Sunday. That is a covenant. God said that if I obey his word and I give my tithe and I give my seed, that the blessings are going to chase me down and they're going to trip me up and God's going to bless me. That's a covenant with me. Trust me, I take money very seriously. And I want to know that when God says he's going to bless me, I want to follow the rules so that I know I'm going to get blessed. And I don't want anything in my way to stop the blessing from coming. Right? It's important. Last year, I set a very high goal for what I wanted for my real estate gross sales for my business. And you know what? I made it. I made the gross sale goal. Why? Because God brought customers to me that I didn't even know. I had no idea who they were. And you know what? But I knew that God was going to be faithful to me. And why? Because I was diligently obeying his word. And I can trust him. Amen? Amen? Breaking out of the covenant also causes consequences. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command to you today, that these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Listen, they had a lot of bad things happen to them, right? They had, what did they have? Locusts. I don't like bugs. I'm really not a big bug fan. They had locusts. They had disease. They had frogs. What else did they have? Hail. I mean, they had a lot of bad stuff happen. Why? Because they broke covenant with God. They didn't obey him. You know, we go through our life very nonchalantly. And we think, oh, well, who cares about that? I can do whatever I want. I can act however I want. I can think however I want. But honestly, when we really care what God thinks about us and when we really care about our relationship with him, we don't want to do the things that go against his word, right? Why? Because it means something. My relationship means something to him and means something to me. We want to make sure that we follow in the commandments of the word. Covenants have diverse conditions to them. Some covenants are unconditional. That means that one participant of the covenant has to do nothing to receive and keep receiving the rights and benefits of the contract. For instance, in a last will and testament, when you are named in a last will and testament and you receive an inheritance, right? You get $5,000 a month in your checking account for the rest of your life from your really rich aunt. And you know what? You never have to do anything for that money. It just automatically goes in there. I want an aunt like that. That's what I'm praying for. But that money goes in there, and you never have to call her up and say, hey, where's my money, right? Because it just automatically goes in. It's part of the rules of the will. And you're just a recipient of it. There are covenants that are conditional. That means that both parties have to do something in order for to fulfill that contract. And if they don't, if one party doesn't, then they breach the contract. A breach means that you break, or it's a failure to do something that is required of the contract. For the majority of covenants that God has made with man, there have been responsibility on both sides of keeping their word concerning the agreement and its benefits that keep coming with it. So, for instance, if I choose not to tithe and I choose not to seed, how God has said in his word, Malachi 3, it talks about what the benefits are of tithing and seeding. If I choose not to do that, then I'm probably not going to be blessed in my real estate business. And I'm probably not going to be blessed in my job, right? Because I'm not following his commands. And nor should I expect that I'm going to receive the things that the word says I'm going to get, because I'm not following his commands, right? If you tell your kids that if they go out and mow the yard, you will give them $10, and they don't mow the yard, they shouldn't expect that they're going to get the $10. Or is it 20 today? I'm not sure what the inflation is. We got paid nothing, I'm just saying. But we got the roof over our head and food in our belly. That's what we got for mowing the lawn. But today, kids are far more blessed than we were. So it's good that, you know, we understand covenant. We understand that if your mortgage says that you, if the mortgage that you signed says you have to pay the mortgage payment to live in your house, it's really a good idea to make sure the mortgage payment is paid every month, or 3 to 4 months down the road, you will not have a place to live because they will foreclose on you, right? It's a covenant. It's one thing. You got to do one thing, and then they're going to let you keep the house. They're going to do the other. It's awesome that our God has actively come after us and established and then reestablished covenants with his people. Now, there's several covenants in the word. You know, there's the first covenant that came with Noah, no more floods on the earth. There was a covenant with Abraham. Actually, Abraham's was the first covenant, then Noah. But there's the Davidic covenant. There's, you know, there's covenants. God reestablished covenants with his people. You know, as they went through one thing, he reestablished covenants with his people. That's good. But you know what? The covenant that we have, this final covenant that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and he died for us, is the best covenant. Amen? Amen? That we are redeemed from the curse of the law, that we have Jesus and he is our God and he is our Savior. Amen? Amen. Let's look at Genesis 9, 12 through 15. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." And Genesis 17:21 says, "But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear with you at this set time next year." Because God doesn't lie, he keeps his covenant to the completion. Deuteronomy 7:9, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those he loves and keeps his commandments." So he's always striving to give us, man, the benefit, the ability to respond to the covenant, right? I mean, look at those poor Israelites. They really just continued to disobey God's commandments. You know, and he was always on the edge of frying them, but didn't, right? Because someone stood in the gap for them, right? Jesus stands in the gap for us every single day. Amen? And so God is constantly trying to make a way to be in relationship with people. And Jesus has completed that for us. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is," I just read that one. He's striving to keep the covenant, help us to respond to that covenant. He loves us so much that he even created new covenants to keep the heart of man. Let's look at Hebrews 8:6-12. "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he said, 'Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of these to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more." So their covenants have been cut with us since the day one, right? Since day one. Adam and Eve, they had a covenant with God. All they had to do was not eat off that one tree. Just one tree. They had the rest of the trees, only the one tree. That's the only tree they didn't have to touch. And what'd they do? They did it, right? Eve just was overtaken, right? And Adam did not use his authority, right? And here we are today. It's a mess because of that one covenant that was broken. See how that one covenant has affected all these generations of people, right? You wouldn't think one little thing could affect everybody from the beginning of time to now, but it has. And that's why, you know, even as families, and this is important, this has always been important for me and with my kids. And when I make a promise to them, I do everything within my power to keep that promise. Why? Because I want them to know that my word is true and that I hold my word very high, right? If I tell you I'm going to do something, I want to fulfill what I've told you I'm going to do. And as Christians and as believers, that is what the world is looking at in us. Are they really going to do what they said they're going to do? Are they really going to be, are they honest, or are they just like everybody else? And that's why when we make promises to people and when we make promises to each other, it's really critical that we keep them, because we're being watched. Believe it or not, we're being watched. And we're being judged from the outside about whether or not we're really holding God's word in check. Now, Pastor's going to be mad that I even went into this tonight. So if he's not watching tonight, you can just pretend like you never heard this all before. Okay? But in any case, I think it's good to get into this, because this takes a couple weeks to go through, honestly. And it's important to understand all the covenants, and it's important to dive into them, and which I know he will do next week. He will probably repeat what I just talked to you about, but that's okay, because you're going to get his perspective on it. And so as we study God's word tonight, I just pray that revelation comes into your spirit, man, even when you're sleeping. Revelation can come to your spirit even as you sleep. Amen? And meditate on his word. Really hold it as a priority in your life on an everyday basis. And you will see great and mighty things happening in your world. Amen? And you will be a blessing to other people. So I'm just going to close in prayer, and then you guys are free to go. We have a whole group of motorcycle people. Did you come on your bikes tonight? Awesome. I love that. I think it's so cool. Father, we just thank you for who you are to us, Lord. I thank you for the diversity in our church. I thank you for our church family who is just so loving and so awesome, Lord. And I thank you that as we study your word, we will have more of your heart. I want to have your heart, Jesus, in every aspect of my life. And I pray, God, that as we sleep, even tonight, I pray that you would bring this word to our remembrance, that you would help us to make the slight adjustments that need to happen in our lives, Father, so that we really do walk out your word, we really do understand it, and that we really do hold you in the highest honor, and you deserve all the glory and the honor and praise for everything that is good within us, Father. And we just worship you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.